This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C. Will you join the nearly 70,000 people who have signed our brief to the Supreme Court in opposition to Obamacare and the 106 members of Congress we represent? We'll tell you how today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There have been 1,800 waivers granted, 1,800 companies that do not have to be following the laws of this healthcare legislation. The government has scrapped the long-term care provisions, scrapped the hearing and site provisions. It's too expensive if you've allowed 1,800 companies opt out of this plan.
I couldn't speak to all 1,800 of them, but some of the lists that I have seen have been very, very small companies. They will not have a big impact on the economy of our country.
But they're not all small companies. I mean, McDonald's has been given a waiver. So these are not all small companies.
It is first time that Congress has ever tried to force somebody to buy a product that they didn't want, and that is not a proper regulation of commerce, so it is unconstitutional.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
You can put lipstick on a pig, Mr. President, but this is still a pig.
That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live, folks. Today on the show, guess what we're talking about? Obamacare, of course, the legal challenge at the U.S. Supreme Court. This week, we have been working on building names to our brief that we'll be filing at the U.S. Supreme Court early next year. Why are we doing it now? Because we want to get to over 200,000 names. Now, we're not going to do it every week along the way, but I'm not going to guarantee you today that you're going to have another chance to sign this brief on Monday for another couple of weeks. So if you want to get on early, if you want to make sure your name is on the brief that we're filing at the U.S. Supreme Court, I need you to call this toll-free number right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And online, folks, at ACLJ.org, an unbelievable response. We are only we're less than 1,000 people away online from 70,000 who have signed at ACLJ.org. This is all happening since Monday, when at 10 a.m. Eastern time, the U.S. Supreme Court said, yes, we're going to hear the Obamacare legal challenge. And by the way, it's going to be 2 days, 5.5 hours. C-SPAN has now asked for cameras in the courtroom. It's never happened before. I don't necessarily expect it will happen this time, but you never know when courts change, now with Chief Justice Roberts. But really an unprecedented case we're talking about here. 69,090 people have signed on to this brief already at ACLJ.org. I hope you'll do so today. And I say that because we need to build this to a quarter of a million people, 250,000 people. We have the time to do it, which means when it's in the news over the next couple of months, and it will be, of course, many times, we're going to go back to it to get to that number. But I hope you'll call today, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You know, yesterday we had played sound bites about how this was all about abortion and how we talked about that the day after the bill passed on radio. Now we have emails that have come out from the Department of Justice, Elena Kagan, now Justice Kagan, when she was Solicitor General of the United States, emailing back and forth with Lawrence Tribe, a liberal law professor who was also working with DOJ at the time, talking about how great it was that pro-lifers bought into the idea that, that the president's executive order protecting funding for abortion meant anything at all when Obamacare passed. It is time to take a stand. We have that opportunity at the U.S. Supreme Court. It's gone outside the political system and right to the nine justices. This is when we need you. 877-989-2255. I need you to call that toll-free number right now and add your name to that brief. And let's get to 70,000 at least online at ACLJ.org. We're less than 1,000. We're 910 away from 70,000 at ACLJ.org. Or call right now, 877-989-2255, to stop Obamacare at the Supreme Court, to stop this pro-abortion bailout for Planned Parenthood. 877-989-2255. Let me give you the number one more time. That's 877-989-2255 or sign at ACLJ.org.
It's official. The Supreme Court of the United States will now determine whether Obamacare is unconstitutional. That's right. The highest court in the land has decided to hear the flawed health care law. And now we must focus on urging the justices to declare this problematic measure unconstitutional. For more than a year and a half, the ACLJ has battled Obamacare in the courts. We knew from the very start that this law was bad for America, a pro-abortion, government-run measure that does not provide the kind of health care America needs or deserves. Stand with the ACLJ now. With a decision expected by the High Court in just a matter of months, it's now more important than ever to voice your opposition to Obamacare. Join our amicus brief to be filed in this case, urging the High Court to reject Obamacare and declare it unconstitutional. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow provides you with the vital information you need to protect your religious and constitutional freedoms. Through our daily radio broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live, you get the latest news, and we provide you with critical insight and analysis on the issues that matter most to you and your family. It's the kind of program that's getting a lot of attention and many new listeners, including former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin.
I listen to Jay Sekulow all the time in my drive into Anchorage. It's a 50-mile commute into Anchorage. And this radio show happens to be on at the time that I usually drive in, so I'm learning a lot from Jay and from Jordan.
Whether it's about the Constitution, the courts, or the halls of Congress, Jay Sekulow and the American Center for Law and Justice cuts through the clutter, providing you with clear and concise news and analysis that you won't find anywhere else. Join the growing number of Americans who listen to Jay Sekulow Live every day. Find out how you can hear the show by going online at aclj.org/ontheradio.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast again, folks. We are just less than 1,000 people away from hitting 70,000 online who have signed the brief, the ACLJ brief, to the Supreme Court of the United States against Obamacare, saying this is unconstitutional. Now, we also represent 106 members of Congress, but we want to represent a quarter of a million of you, 250,000 people, which is why we started immediately when we found out that the Supreme Court on Monday is going to take this case. 5.5 hours of oral argument over 2 days. Sign now, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. My dad was talking about it on Fox News. Let's take a listen.
Your argument, and you have, we should point out, argued in front of the Supreme Court before, your argument to the court about why the individual mandate is unconstitutional, in your view, boils down to what?
Basically, that there's no authority under the Constitution that would require the, or allow the government to mandate or require that an individual citizen buy something as basically the cost of citizenship. What you've got here is if you don't participate in this program, in the government insurance plan, basically, with the health care program, you suffer a penalty enforced by the Internal Revenue Service. And we've never had a case. Even the judges that have said that this law is constitutional have acknowledged that there's never been a case where this kind of situations ever developed and been allowed. That is requiring someone to acquire something simply as a cost of being a citizen of the United States. There's no return benefit here. It's not like if you get a driver's license, you have to have driver's insurance. That makes sense. You're getting something. Here it's the cost of citizenship. So the question really is there congressional authority, John, for Congress to do this? Our position is no. Obviously, it's going to be our position's one thing. It's going to be what the Supreme Court of the United States decides.
Comparisons have been made to things like seatbelts. If you want to get a driver's license or if you want to keep your driver's license, the state says you have to wear a seatbelt these days. Not a fair comparison?
Sure. No, because you're getting a driver's license. And the question I ask is, what are you getting here? This is really a cost of citizenship in the United States. You have to participate in this program or you're penalized. And that raises a whole host of issues, not the least of which, of course, is there constitutional authority that allows Congress to do this? And the courts have been split. It's not falling on ideological lines. The 11th Circuit, for instance, held that the law was unconstitutional in the main part, and it was a Clinton appointee that joined the majority opinion there. Most recently in the D.C. Court of Appeals, it was a Republican appointee who said the law was constitutional. So it's not falling necessarily ideological lines. It's really a question of congressional authority, congressional power, and that is what the Supreme Court is going to be dealing with in 5.5 hours of oral argument.
Well, we mentioned that you've got roughly 100 members of Congress whom you're representing. Yeah. They don't like the way this thing passed, but hey, you know, they are the elected representatives of the people, and they got shot down when this thing got voted into law.
Right. But that's why we have a judicial system in the United States, and Congress certainly has the right to weigh in, especially those dissenting members of the United States Congress, those that oppose the bill. They have the right to go to court, file a brief with the court expressing their view, and that's what's about 106 members of Congress now that may even increase, but they have the right to do that, and clearly that's what's being done here. You know, this was a very controversial bill. Remember, Nancy Pelosi said, we're not going to know what's in it until it's passed. Well, now we know what's in it. They're already requiring cutbacks in the bill, in the law. They're already saying this isn't going to be put into effect. We're giving exemptions here to various groups. In fact, a lot of the labor groups, union groups that were supporting the bill are now being exempt from its requirements. So there's all kind of mechanical problems with it. But what the Supreme Court is dealing with is not the mechanical issues, but the constitutional issues. And they've accepted here, John, every single issue that's been raised challenging it. So from both sides. So it's a comprehensive review of where the law is going to be here.
People are going to be hearing a lot about the term severability as this argument proceeds.
Yeah.
Can you give us the layman's explanation of severability?
Sure. Yeah, and you know, you're right. What severability means is if a portion of a law is held unconstitutional, it doesn't mean the rest of the law is unconstitutional. And Congress oftentimes will put a severability clause in the actual legislation. In other words, the statement, if in fact this provision is declared to be unconstitutional, the rest of it survives. They didn't do that here. So the Supreme Court's asked for argument on the severability issue. In other words, if the court decides that the individual mandate is in fact unconstitutional, violates the Commerce Clause, what is the effect of the rest of the law? And that question is going to be argued, I think, over an hour of oral argument dealing with that issue alone.
Well,
so the severability issue is there. It's going to be a very significant aspect of this case.
And your argument would be, and the president has said everybody's got to have health insurance, your argument would be if you can't make everybody buy it, then the whole thing goes out the window.
Oh, absolutely right. And the administration honestly has said that without the individual mandate, the law doesn't work. So from a practical consequence, the law wouldn't work if you take the individual mandate out, but that's not the same as the legal consequence. So what the court's going to be faced with is when you don't have a severability clause in the legislation, what happens? And I think the answer has to be Congress could have put it in there. They decided not to. The law, if one portion goes, the entire law is struck down as unconstitutional. That's going to be our argument.
But it wasn't just Fox News. He was also on CBN's 700 Club. This is my dad talking about, again, the Obamacare legal challenge now at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, we have with us a good friend and a key constitutional lawyer, Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice. Jay, are you happy that the Supremes have taken jurisdiction?
I am. I'm happy that it's going to finally be adjudicated where it should have been probably a year ago, and that's at the Supreme Court of the United States. Pat, they've taken every issue that has been raised. You know, we're representing 105 members of the United States Congress. I think it's actually up to 106 now. And also, there's been a series of challenges in Florida. We've filed in that case. We brought a case in the District of Columbia that is now on its way to the Supreme Court. It will be held with this case. There's cases coming out of the Fourth Circuit. But it's not an ideological split, as normal. For instance, Pat, in the 11th Circuit case, we carried the day because a Clinton appointee came with us and took the position that we were advocating. Yet the 6th Circuit and the District of Columbia Courts of Appeals went against the position we were advocating, and Republican nominees signed on. So there's a lot of issues at play here. It's not going to strictly be ideological lines as normal.
Jay, they've got several things. One, of course, is the issue of severability. If they take that individual mandate, does that kill the whole law? Usually, there was nothing in that bill that says it's severable, so you'd think that was the linchpin and it would take the whole law down, but that's the key. They also, I understand, there's an issue of standing, whether the people making these complaints have standing to come in on a constitutional issue like this. Are there any other issues they'll be dealing with?
Well, the biggest one is going to be, of course, the individual mandate, which is not a surprise. That was the requirement that you must buy this insurance or face these penalties imposed by the Internal Revenue Service. But the second thing, Pat, is the Anti-Injunction Act, which goes into your first point about standing, and that are these cases ready for adjudication because the bill has not yet gone into effect? It's imposed through the tax code, and there is an Anti-Injunction Act. And that could be a very close issue in this case. So it is conceivable that after 5.5 hours of oral argument, hundreds of pages of briefs that are going to be filed in this case, that the court simply says, challenge interesting, but we're not going to look at it till 2015 after this law is really in effect. So there's a significant hurdle here that has to be hopped over. But the fact that they gave 5.5 hours for oral argument over a 2-day period, I think is significant. I think that speaks definitely to the seriousness of this case, but predicting the outcome of this one, very difficult. I will say this, regardless of how it goes, if the court decides chance to strike it as unconstitutional. That is a victory. If the court decides to leave it in place and says it is constitutional, you're talking about probably the most significant election issue of 2012, because it would take a Republican House, Senate, and White House to get rid of that legislation.
What about Justice Kagan? She was a Solicitor General, sir, and actually defending this law. Shouldn't she recuse herself?
You know, recusal, Pat, is completely up to the individual justice. There's been a move to have her recuse herself. There's been a move to have Justice Thomas recuse himself. My real consensus here is neither will be removed. She has stated that she was not substantively involved in the litigation. There is that email that came out where she was glad it passed. But that is really their call, and there's absolutely no indication that either of the justices will, in fact, recuse themselves. In fact, you would have probably seen that in the order, because oftentimes when certiorari is granted, that is when the court decides to hear the case, they'll say, you know, such and such justice decided not to participate in the determination whether to take the case. That was not noted here. So my suspicion is we will have 9 justices determining this. The arguments will be in March. The decision will be in June, and an election in November. And, Pat, you know the election issue is going to play very, very significantly.
Paul Clement, I suppose, will be arguing for the people who are opposing the law. Are you going to be involved in any of the oral arguments?
We're going to be helping Paul. We're not going to be. He will be. He's representing Florida here. The cases that we've had in chief are at the just coming out of the Court of Appeal stages. So those will be held at the Supreme Court. Paul Clement will be making the primary argument on behalf of the states. The Solicitor General for the United States will be doing the argument on behalf of the United States. We will be filing actually briefs on behalf of most of the Republican leadership. I think all of the Republican leadership at this point, or certainly most of it, and about 105, 106. Members of the United States Congress. So we're going to be filing a very significant brief. The argument in chief will be made by Paul Clement, who, as you know, has been down to Regent before, former Solicitor General, very good friend of ours, and will do a fantastic job. And the Solicitor General's office will do a job. This is going to be a case to watch for oral argument skills. But at the end of the day, a case like this, the briefing, oral arguments are great. They're always important. It's the fun part of the case. But you usually win or lose these on the brief. So the work is starting, literally, Pat, started yesterday at 10:01 when the court said certiorari is granted, and everybody's to work here. It's going to be a lot of briefs. We'll be filing a number of briefs on a whole lot of issues, because the court has taken everything. Every issue that's been raised has been accepted.
You've heard the discussion. I want you to sign there at ACLJ.org or call right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The role of social media is now more important than ever in our national discourse. With fast-breaking developments and an ever-changing political landscape in Washington, D.C., now there's a way to stay on top of the political, legal, and cultural issues that matter most to you. Jordan Seculo brings the immediacy of Twitter to talk radio. As Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Seculo is one of the most followed conservatives on Twitter. He tackles the tough topics with insightful analysis and interviews with top decision makers and conservative leaders at home and abroad. Jordan is taking your questions live via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, and live on ACLJ.org. For more information, go to JordanSeculo.com. It's official. The Supreme Court of the United States will now determine whether Obamacare is unconstitutional. That's right. The highest court in the land has decided to hear the flawed health care law. And now we must focus on urging the justices to declare this problematic measure unconstitutional. For more than a year and a half, the ACLJ has battled Obamacare in the courts. We knew from the very start that this law was bad for America, a pro-abortion, government-run measure that does not provide the kind of health care America needs or deserves. Stand with the ACLJ now. With a decision expected by the High Court in just a matter of months, it's now more important than ever to voice your opposition to Obamacare. Join our amicus brief to be filed in this case, urging the High Court to reject Obamacare and declare it unconstitutional. Add your name now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan. You know, folks, we have talked about a lot of issues this week, but I had someone very special on my show earlier in the week, Jimmy Wayne, who's a country music singer, but doing a lot to talk about the children in need in our own country, specifically those who go out of the foster system, 30,000 of them who turn 18. He's got a new book out, Paper Angels. I wanted to play some of that interview for you today on Jay Sekulow Live with Jimmy Wayne. Let's take a listen.
Well, in 2010, I started walking halfway across the United States of America. I walked from Nashville, Tennessee to Phoenix, Arizona to raise awareness for at-risk youth who are in foster care, who age out at 18 years old, and if they don't have anywhere to go, they go homeless. And I was one of those kids. I lived on the street for a while. I was a homeless teenager until a family in their mid-70s, a really good Christian family, took me in, a military family, I might add, and gave, you know, just set down the rules. You know, you go to church and you cut your hair, and basically they provided me with a room to sleep in, and it just changed my life. So I wanted to give back and, you know, give forward what they did for me. And that walk was just the first step of raising awareness for these kids. It's an epidemic. We help a lot of people in this world, and we should. We should help everyone, all people. But all people include the children right here in America that we just somehow overlook. And, you know, we all have our own opinions, but I believe if these children in America could vote, it wouldn't be an epidemic. I mean, it's just
right.
They go under the radar. They're never talked about until someone, you know, raises their hand and says, hey, there's a kid that's actually homeless in your neighborhood. We need to help him.
You know, this week my dad and I got to talk to Congressman Mike Pompeo from Kansas about a situation there involving Planned Parenthood and document destruction. Why is it important? Planned Parenthood loves Obamacare. They celebrated Obamacare as a victory because it's a bailout for the abortion industry. Call now, add your name to our brief, 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Let's take a listen to our interview with Congressman Mike Pompeo.
Well, we've been discussing the issue of Planned Parenthood a lot on this broadcast, not only their funding, but some of the allegations that have been made against them across the country. We, of course, have two major cases, one in California and one in Texas. We're joined on the phone right now by Congressman Pompeo from Kansas, who is very familiar with the situation that's developed in Kansas. And, folks, it's something we've talked about going back a couple of years about Planned Parenthood in Kansas. But some recent developments are frankly shocking. Congressman, thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about the history of what's happened here, because I'm hearing now and reviewing the situation with the destruction of evidence. It's pretty chilling.
It's very chilling, and we still don't know all the facts. But what we do know is this. We know that there were criminal prosecutions, indeed indictments issued against Planned Parenthood in Kansas, and a set of documents that was held by the district attorney in Johnson County were destroyed, reportedly, according to them, according to normal document destruction procedures. But then we learned that there was a second set of documents that were stored at the Attorney General's office. And when those records were sought, it turns out those records appear to have been destroyed as well.
Now, there were pending criminal charges here and documents destroyed.
That's correct.
What's the Kansas Attorney General, or then Kansas Attorney General's, response to this?
So far, he's made no comment. You should know, Jay. This has all the hallmarks of being deeply political. This was under the he was appointed by the now Secretary of HHS, our former governor, Kathleen Sebelius. He was not elected, but rather appointed by her. And this destruction appears to have taken place during his time. We don't have any answers. He has chosen not to comment when the disappearance of the records first was made public. And our former governor, Secretary Sebelius, has said that she knew nothing about it. We have lots of questions about basic understanding of the rule of law, which these folks need to account for.
You know, this is interesting because Planned Parenthood has unfortunately been accused of a lot of activity over the last year. We've seen it with the referrals for underage abortions, and they tend to get away with this. And, Congressman, this is what I cannot understand for the life of me, and I know Jordan's got a couple of questions here too, but let me ask this one. How is it that we're funding Planned Parenthood $350 million a year? If it was almost seems like to me, if it was any other institution, they would be, you know, in real serious criminal trouble, yet we're giving them money. For the life of me, I can't understand this.
Jay, I can't account for it either. I've been here in Congress 10 months. We have voted in the House of Representatives on multiple occasions to deny them funding, but we so far have not been successful at making that go away. This is the classic example Planned Parenthood were significant funders for Kansas Democrat politicians as well. Governor Sebelius was very closely connected to them. They were an important political player in our state. They were indicted, and now we've had a district attorney in Johnson County forced to dismiss charges because the very folks that they supported for office were in charge when documents were destroyed.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Jordan, I know you've got a couple questions for the congressman.
You know, Congressman, I'd like to remind people, as you've been on my broadcast, your background at West Point and then also Harvard Law School. You look at now the attorney general in Kansas is finally looking into this. But, again, just to echo the message here, Planned Parenthood's got these attorneys as well. They're working. They've got, obviously, inside ball going with state officials, now federal officials, destroying records on these fraud issues and looking into the criminal charge issues. And felony counts, I mean, for fraudulent reporting, 23 of them, all documents destroyed. And I know you're speaking out on this. So what can the people who are listening to this broadcast do to kind of get behind at least investigating this in Kansas?
Well, we need to make sure. The current attorney general has appointed the Shawnee County District Attorney to conduct an investigation. We need to have everyone out there watching, talking, urging that this investigation be complete and thorough, and it leads all the way to the decision makers about who chose to eliminate these documents. The response from the other side so far has been this was ordinary housekeeping. It is not ordinary, nor is it housekeeping, to destroy documents post-indictments in a criminal investigation.
And that's absolutely incredible. Let me ask you a follow-up on that with what Jordan just asked, and that is, Congressman, you said there's an independent DA right now looking at the situation?
It's the district attorney for Shawnee County, which is the county that in the seat of government for the state of Kansas.
So they're going to look at it. But you bring up the point, and this will be the my kind of last question here. But to me, it's incredible that an ongoing criminal investigation, indictments issued, evidence destroyed, and they're saying this is normal course. I mean, that flies in the face not only of logic, but the rules of ethics and the rules of evidence.
Jay, these documents were locked in a vault in the state of Kansas, stored for precisely the reasons we all know documents are stored. And I understand, I ran a business for 16 years. You don't keep everything. But before you you get rid of a document, you make darn sure that it's not a document you continue to need. And you make absolutely sure that there is not a criminal investigation that is pending related to those very documents. If the policy turns out to have permitted this document destruction, the policy itself is outrageous.
Unbelievable if it's the case. Congressman, we appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Keep up the great work there in Washington, D.C., and for the good folks in Kansas. But in this situation, you're really representing all of us that are concerned about what Planned Parenthood's doing and their activities. Thanks, Congressman.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You all have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
You know what, folks? With all these issues surrounding Planned Parenthood and their love of Obamacare, I hope that alone gives you reason to sign our brief to the U.S. Supreme Court saying Obamacare is unconstitutional. I stand with the 106 members of Congress who stand with the ACLJ. We've close to 70,000 online. Sign up at aclj.org or call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Seculo Show. Jordan Seculo provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordanseculo.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Seculo Show via email, info@seculo.com.